It's Pardon My Take, presented by Bar Stool Sports. No, we're gonna rock down to Electric Avenue.
And then we'll take it higher. Oh, we're gonna rock. Welcome to the debut episode of Pardon My Take. It has been a little bit of a secret, actually not a secret anymore because this is airing on Friday. We're taping this on Monday, and I want to introduce the big secret. Welcome him to his own show, PFT Commenter. Hello, welcome to the Barstool world. Welcome to Pardon My Take. How are you feeling?
Thanks for having me. I feel great. I'm excited to be joining the team.
Thanks for having you on your own show.
Yeah, no, it's great. Like, this is my home now.
Yes.
And I think the name is a great name for a podcast. It's like Part of My Take, which says sorry, not sorry for my take. But this is going to be the best place to get all your sports arguments and debates for the next several years until we both develop severe drug problems and
have to
take a couple years off. And then we'll have a reunion and they'll do like a behind the music on us. And yeah, it's going to be great.
So this first episode's obviously not going to be exactly like how we're going to run the show. We're going to run it Monday, Wednesday, Friday. We'll get into the structure of the show. This first episode, though, we're going to kind of just have a more casual conversation.
I don't have casual conversations.
With PFT Commenter, get his backstory a little bit for all the stoolies out there who do not know him and are getting initiated to him here. So this won't be like every episode. It's going to be, like I said, a three-time-a-week more of a quick hitter, topical sports things every single
morning. Wham, bam, thank you, ma'am.
Yeah, you're going to get all the takes and you're getting them hot. So that will start on Monday. You're listening to this on Friday. So let's start. People have long asked if you were going to join Barstool. It's always been kind of a natural fit because our humor aligns. You and I have known each other for a couple years now.
That's right, yeah. You know, I got my start blogging really at Kissing Susie Colbert and SB Nation, and KSK was more of a humor site. SB Nation is a little bit more of a sports site, but you know, always, yeah, Barstool has been, it seemed like a natural fit, given you guys do a lot more humor than SB Nation does. Just like two years ago, you and I sat down in a bar in Chicago.
A mandate. We didn't even know what he, I didn't know what you looked like.
We were just feeling each other out. Yeah. We were just like, okay, is this guy going to be a total psycho? Am I going to walk out of here? And we just kind of talked about, you know, the industry of sports blogging, and we recognized that my takes were pretty damn strong, and there might be a space on Barstool for something like that in the future. And, you know, just kept in touch. One thing led to another, and contract expired at SB Nation and was thinking about, okay, what's the next move here? And with the New York office opening up in, for Barstool, it seemed like a good time to join.
So that will be news for everyone there. You're obviously coming to New York, and the first few months of this show will be done remotely through Skype.
Yeah.
But once we're together in New York, we'll be there every day pounding it out. And so are you going to tell everyone that, you know, every time we hung out, we usually had a few drinks, and then once you challenged me to an arm wrestling match and lost?
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be a surprise to anybody out there that most of the time when I've hung out with you, I've been kind of drunk. Like, that's...
We both have.
This is my first podcast I've ever done sober, I believe.
Yeah, there you go.
This is a little... It's new ground for all of us. But yeah, so Big Cat, I think you challenged me to an arm wrestling. Two guys talking, we end up talking about
just
arm
boys
wrestling.
Being boys. Boys being boys.
Eventually,
you know,
the conversation gets to arm wrestling, as it always does. And so, you know, Big Cat at the time, he was looking, you know, a little pudgy. I thought I could take him. I thought he had fake muscles. You know, the guys that have like the dad bod fake
popcorn
muscles.
Popcorn muscles, Joey Porter.
There you go. Exactly. So I was like, I could take this guy. And he used illegal grip on me. First of all, you've got a much longer arm than I do. So you've got the leverage to bring me down. It's one case where low man doesn't win. Like, I'm all about pad level. So that's why my arm is like a little bit shorter. But you were coming over the top on me, and you also had an illegal wrist grip, which, you know, everybody could see at the time, but, you know, whatever.
Long-time stoolies know I am actually a women's arm wrestling champion. So that's you were going up shit creek on that one.
Right.
You coming up at me. It's actually been funny because it's a relationship that has been kind of – we've known each other for a few years now. We've hung out. You were at the DraftKings house. First time you met Dave was hilarious because I introduced you to Dave and I said, Dave, this is PFT Commenter. He's like you, but he's joking.
And Dave got very offended by that.
Yeah.
He was not happy that I said that. He was like, I don't understand. What do you mean? I was like, well, you know how like you say you want to kill Goodell, like, but he'll say that, but he's joking.
I actually want to do the opposite of kill Goodell. I want to make sure Goodell stays in power forever.
Right.
Because I love what he's done to the Patriots. And he's just like a personal hero of mine. And I think that he's the best commissioner the league's ever seen.
We just got a million people to unsubscribe to this podcast.
Oh, hey, get used to it. I'm going to be S and Goodell's D all the time.
There you go.
That's
so
my man.
So you met Dave. I actually said to Dave, this was a year ago, you know, we should hire this guy. It took a little bit of time. Dave usually likes to let the ideas, he likes to let the ideas kind of marinate in his brain until he thinks he came up with them.
Until he re-remembers it?
Yeah.
And he's like, hey.
So this fall, he emailed Kevin and I, was like, hey, we should hire this guy. And I was like, oh, really? Yeah, I know. I've been telling you that. And it was hilarious because he had read a bunch of your stuff. He still didn't fully understand the satire part. I said to him, did you notice that he has a lot of words that are misspelled?
What do you mean by satire?
He has a lot of words that are misspelled, and Dave actually said, no, I didn't notice that. So he's maybe the only person who read you and didn't notice that you had words misspelled.
Here's my thought when it comes to misspellings. If you can't get your point across if you can get your point across without having to spell every word correctly, you know you've got a damn strong point, right? If you have to make sure that everything's in its nice little order, you know, and make sure I after E and all that bullshit, like, is your take really that much worth reading to begin with if it has to be spelled correctly?
People who practice perfect spelling know that they're trying to hide for something.
Exactly. It's overcompensating. It's like a major red flag if I read an article that has, you know, every comma in the exact right place and the grammar's impeccable.
I don't hate that.
That's why comment sections usually deliver the most unfiltered, correct takes. It's because, like, you're in a race to get your take out before somebody beats you on it. So, like, you can't be bothered to make sure that it's 100% factually correct, or if there's some misspellings in there, you just fire it off. It's like, I call it, instead of like food to or farm to table, like the modern dining thing, this is just like brain to internet. Like, there's no filter.
No middleman.
The take gets out there immediately, and it's the most pure thing that you can read.
I'm actually a pretty good speller. My problem is I'm maybe the worst at grammar, but I don't really care about that either. But
that's okay. It's the internet. Nobody cares about grammar.
Right. There will be a few people who will correct me, and I'll just be like, get out of here, man.
Yeah, exactly. You don't want those people reading your stuff to begin with.
Yeah. So, all right, so back to your story. So you started, it's actually the most common man start on the internet you could come up with. You started basically in the comments section, and people started recognizing you, and you started making, you know, you started your own blog. Some people at SB Nation and Kissing Susie Colbert recognized that you were funny, and they hired you.
Yeah, it was like it's the most blue-collar story that you can ever imagine. Like, I was commenting in the Pro Football Talk comment section, which was like the Barstool comment section before Barstool existed. Like, it was rough and tumble. It was like Wild West shit back then. Like, really strong takes, unadulterated stuff. I started my own blog, and I applied for Bleacher Report, actually. This is like 2012, and my application to Bleacher Report was saying that the Colts should fire Chuck Pagano and keep Bruce Arians as their head coach. And this was a season that
he had cancer
and he was gone.
Yep.
And Bruce Arians did such a good job. And I was like, this is a results league. And Arians is carrying the team, and Chuck Pagano is costing them a fortune in medical bills. Like, you got to make that decision.
Now, not to sidetrack you here, but do you feel a little embarrassed by that take now knowing that Chuck Pagano has his own currency in grit coins?
I do. Yeah, no, that's the one thing that
hurts.
There was no way to see that coming, though, because at the time, he wasn't even in the picture, so I didn't know how much he loved grit. But yeah, I do feel a little bit bad about that in retrospect. But yeah, the name of the column was called Arians Nation. And
I'm shocked that Bleacher Report turned it down.
I got a really, really harsh email back from them saying, like, this is the precisely type of article that we would never consider running on our site.
Perfect.
It's quite frankly offensive, and it has no place on the internet.
I love it.
And so I was like, fine, I'll start my own blog. I'll show you. I'll show everybody. And the person was like, fine, if you think that you're ever going to get published somewhere with that, good luck. And guess what? Guess who had the last laugh?
Look at you now.
Look at me now. Signing a major multi-year contract.
Free agency signing, getting paper.
That's right. Now, I'm normally against free agency when it comes to football, but when it comes to me, myself personally, I can bend those rules because, like, the way that I expect other people to act isn't always how I expect myself to act.
It's a do as I say, not as I do situation.
Exactly. And people out there are smart enough to recognize that, even though I don't live by my own moral code, my moral code is pretty
superior,
correct.
Right.
It's good for other people.
Right, yeah. Exactly. So you got hired by Kissing Susie Colbert. You transitioned to SB Nation, and now you're at Barstool. So like you said, it was basically from the comments section to
yeah.
I mean, I actually some people would accuse us of being basically the comment section of the internet. So well, you basically went from the comment section to like a little bit more popular of a comment
section. That's why it seems like such a natural fit. Yeah.
And we talked about this. You now you've obviously had an editor in the past, which mm-hmm. Real websites or you know websites that are trying to do things differently than us, they have editors.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a surprise to anyone. I don't think I'm breaking news here. We do not have any editors.
Yeah, that's not
you
a surprise.
You publish one. Things on your own. You write it, and then you just go for it. So you are you excited for that transition?
I am, yeah. You know, SB Nation has actually been really good to me. I know that Barstool and SB Nation have had their beefs in the past, and so maybe a lot of the people listening don't really read SB Nation, or all they know about SB Nation is what Dave has told them about it.
Right.
But it's been a really good home for me. They do have an editor there whose job was basically to do a control F search of all my columns and replace the word Redskins with Washington football team because it's against their editorial policy. So what I started to do was misspell Redskins intentionally. That's the only word I would ever misspell intentionally, but I'd misspell it every time so that I could surpass their filters and sneak the Redskins into columns. But recently, SB Nation has been in the news for that Daniel Holzklaw article.
Yep.
And when you have as many people writing for them as they do, like there are going to be some stumbling blocks here and there. Just like on Barstool, occasionally there will be something that you kind of wish you could take back in the future. But yeah, so ever since then, SB Nation's editorial standards, I imagine, will be picking up quite a bit moving forward. So it seems like a good time for me to transition over.
Perfect time, and because of the New York move, and we're obviously going, if people listening know that we're going to be putting a new focus on podcasts, so this is going to be one of the premier podcasts that we put out, and actually that's a good transition to talk about this one. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the structure so people know what they're going to come, going to be expecting.
Right.
Just to start from the beginning, it's going to be Monday, Wednesday, Friday. We're going to release it at noon Eastern time so everyone can listen to it at lunch. They can listen to it maybe on the ride home before the rundown right. posts. And we're going to do basically everything that happened in the sports world the last 24 hours. That's going to be covered, and it's going to be covered with our sense of humor and our takes.
We're going to yell at each other a lot about it. It's going to be – we're going to embrace debate
yes.
big time. Yeah, and we're going to have some good guests on there too. I think what we're planning on doing, four good minutes, not five good minutes,
right? Four good minutes will be a feature of ours. We think that Kornheiser and Wilbon maybe use that extra minute as a crutch.
It is a crutch, yeah. No, we're much better interviewers and journalists than they are, so we can do four good minutes, and then if it's going really well, we'll throw the fifth minute in for free, and it's kind of like the 7-minute abs.
Yeah, so every episode will be a similar layout, where the beginning we're going to talk about whatever's going on in the sports world. You'll get our takes on that. Then if we have a guest, we'll go to the guest. And then we'll finish every show with a bunch of bits and ideas that we've come up with that I think people are going to really like.
Yeah.
And this is actually a good time to shout out. We have the Pardon My Take Twitter feed. We have the Pardon My Take Instagram. We want to make this an interactive show. So we want your advice. We want to really, when I say that, we're lazy.
Yeah, here's the thing. We know that people listening to us sometimes have I won't say better ideas than us because
we have
much better ideas than our listeners. But
what happens is when someone has a better idea than me, I'll just pretend that I didn't see it and I'll wait a couple weeks and then I'll be
and then
like,
I'll use it. And
yeah,
then,
exactly.
Yeah, I do that too. But what we do have is listeners that have somewhat good ideas, I'm sure. Maybe as good ideas as we do sometimes. And it's a lot easier for us if we don't always have to think of our own ideas. So we're going to phrase this as being interactive.
Interactive.
And we want a lot of listener participation
yes.
out there.
Really, we just want to use your brains.
We want to steal your
to
ideas.
Make this show as funny as possible.
Exactly. Yeah. But I think if we can harness the sense of humor of all of our listeners, I think everybody's going to be happier in the long run.
Absolutely.
And you will get to listen to a funnier show. So it's worth your while.
And some of the other things that we have planned for the show, this is something we came up with the other night. We're going to most shows, ESPN shows, radio shows, they'll do remotes from places. Mm-hmm. So we're going to do a monthly remote And this is an idea that we haven't even gotten approved by Dave. So,
but it's going
to
get approved.
It will get approved. Yeah. We're going to do a monthly remote from an airport in America. We're going to start doing airport reviews where we, the Part of My Take team, so that would be PFT, myself, and Hank, our producer. Mm-hmm. We're all going to fly. We're going to get it on a plane in the morning, fly to an airport, spend the entire day in the airport reviewing it, making a podcast, and then fly back to New York at night.
Going on vacation to an airport is essentially what we're going to be doing.
Yes.
Yeah. And maybe, you know, we'll fly there. We'll catch an Uber from the airport, but we'll just take the Uber around the airport. To experience,
back to the airport.
Check out the parking lot. See what that situation's like. Maybe walk from the parking lot into the terminal.
Yes.
Get the 360 degree view of the entire operation. Check out like the different Hudson Newses and figure out where the best Hudson News in America is.
Maybe we'll do something like Brewster's Millions, where everyone has $200 they have to spend, and see how much they can, how far that can get them.
That sounds great to me. Yeah. And maybe we'll organize like an airport bar crawl.
Yes.
And so maybe some stoolies out there will listen, or just like some fans of the show will listen, and they'll show up and do the bar crawl with us.
So start telling us airports that you want us to review. We could start doing the airport reviews this month. So I mean, we could do one in March, and we could get that off the ground right away. So start telling us where you want us to go. And like we said, it's just show up, get the flight there, spend the whole day, fly back at night.
Yeah. And what I've noticed is that a lot of the worst cities in America have the best airports in them, because they want to make you think that you're in a great city when you
land.
So yeah, if you have a layover and maybe you don't have enough time to go out into the city, that sticks in your mind and you're like, you know what? Maybe I'll go back to Detroit for a vacation because I seem to have a good impression of it for some reason in my head. And it's just that you landed there and there was like a casino in it, and so you felt good about it.
And then we're also going to do another idea that you should expect from us come this summer when it gets a little lull in the sports calendar. Thankfully, we're starting this show at a good sports month. Obviously, this show is going to be, because it's a sports show, because it's topical, we're going to go with the wind when it comes to what's going on. So we already know that July is not a great month for sports. You only got baseball going on. So we're going to do cult week.
Really,
we're
going to
join a cult.
Yeah.
We're going to, we don't know what cult. It might not be a full-blown cult. It might be like a Tony Robbins kind of conference where it's like motivational speaking. But again, the Pardon My Take crew, we're going to spend a weekend joining some kind of cult, some kind of motivational, life-changing situation.
I think it's going to be more of a cult than Tony Robbins.
Yes.
We're not going to go to the high-priced Tony Robbins affair. If we have to go like a watered-down way, we're going to go with the cheapest, weirdest motivational speaker. Not like the high brand guy.
Yeah.
So bottom line is we're going to get brainwashed for a weekend. And
we're going to tell you all about it.
And we'll do a podcast or a show at the start of the weekend. And then at the end, we'll be completely different people. And we will try to sell you on whatever we just learned that week. And I'm going into it being wide open. And, you know, if I think I'm the kind of guy that can be brainwashed. I don't think I'm strong enough mentally when it comes to those types of situations.
I don't know if I'm a brainwash guy. I'm definitely a scam guy. So this might be a subtle difference, but we've talked about this. I've always thought that, you know, like a pyramid scheme, I could be bought into a pyramid scheme because that's just kind of like my gambling nature.
Yeah.
I don't know if I could buy into a cult fully, but if you, maybe we'll do a pyramid scheme too.
Here's why I like cults a little bit better than pyramid schemes is because a pyramid scheme involves work. Like you're trying to do this stuff so that you can sell something and make money, and it's work.
You could get really rich.
You could. Well, that's what I'm saying. It involves that end goal. A cult is you just join a cult and you're just in a cult now. There's no real reason to do it. There's no end game.
The only problem with cults, though, I feel like being in a cult for a guy kind of sucks. The power structure of a cult, unless you're the head guy who's getting to just have sex with all the women and like pilfering all the money.
Yeah.
The other guys, I would imagine, just have to do like manual labor.
Well, there's got to be a reason why they keep joining, and I want to find out what that reason is.
Yeah. Okay. Well, so cult week's gonna happen. So that's kind of the vibe of the show. We're going to be doing, like I said, sports every day, but we're also gonna have some fun. We're gonna expand out there. It's going to be like your favorite take show, but a million times funnier and a million times better.
Yeah, that's a fair description of it. I agree.
So let's transition now, because we'll do a little we'll give you a little piece of the bits that we're going to do. We have a ton of bits. We're gonna start.
I don't know if we can call them bits.
Yeah. What should we call them?
So they're just like
Games.
They're games and segments.
They're games and segments. Okay. Yeah. All right.
Because otherwise we could just be talking to our audience for like 30 minutes about sports, but it has no structure.
Right.
But if we put it in, like for example, one of the things that we're coming up with is people forget that as a segment, right?
Yes. So this is a perfect segue. And great segue, by the way.
Right. Right. Hey, I've been doing this. I did two podcasts before in my life for SiriusXM, so I'm like an old pro.
People
forget that is just basically we're going to come up with a stat. We're going to remember a stat or remember something and then try to figure out if people do forget that. Like I could say, people forget that when the United States beat the USSR hockey team, that wasn't the gold medal game.
Some people do forget that.
Do people forget that?
I'd say actually 60% of America would forget that.
Okay, so that would be yes, people forget that.
So today's people forget that with the Warriors and all their success in the news and the 95-96 Bulls, the 72-10 Bulls being talked about a lot, we have a Michael Jordan people forget that.
Yeah, we do. My Michael Jordan people forget that is people forget that Michael Jordan had a goatee in the 1992 Olympics in Barcelona.
I actually think a lot of people forget.
Have you seen the picture?
First of all, that entire team, like the legends together on that team,
yeah,
is so cool to look at.
It's wild. It's insane.
And then who was Christian Laettner was the odd man out.
Right. Instead of Shaq, they brought Laettner along.
Right.
I always liked to. They did like the top 20 best team countdown on ESPN a while ago, and the Dream Team was like number 9 for some reason. Like how is the Dream Team never not number 1?
Yeah.
They didn't use a timeout.
That's the best team of all time.
Yeah, it's pretty great. And you had Michael Jordan out here. He changed his image a little bit. I think he was like trying to experiment, get wild. Maybe he thought like, I go to Europe and I put on a European hat to try to fit in with the culture. Maybe he thought that Europeans had facial hair a lot.
It's a smart move. When we went to San Francisco for Super Bowl week, I bought a bunch of Patagonia hats to try to be like a chill Cali bro.
Yeah, did it work?
No.
You didn't fit in.
Everywhere I go, and I've done this a few times, I tried to do it when we went on the Dixie bus. I bought a shirt.
You bought a KKK robe?
No, I bought a shirt that was like, I thought was young and hip, and I put it on, and I could tell Hank and Caleb just looked at me like, oh, there's the fat Midwestern dude.
Right, right.
Like on vacation.
Right.
So, and MJ probably was trying to do that. He was trying to be Euro MJ with his goatee.
Yep.
Kind of like NWO Hulk Hogan, Hollywood Hulk Hogan. So I do think people forget that.
I definitely forget that. And then whenever I see the picture, I get really happy when I look at it because it's just a funny look for Jordan.
It's a great look, especially a guy who now has, I would say he's probably the worst rich dresser in the world.
Right. And it's because he's got fuck you money and he doesn't need to try to look good. So he puts on those pair of like, they're like parachute jeans.
He's worn cargo jeans before.
Yeah.
That cargo jeans are like, if you're not a juggalo, you shouldn't be wearing cargo jeans.
Right. And so he'll wear the cargo jeans and he's got people around him that just, they'll suck his dick no matter what. So nobody even tells Michael Jordan to not wear the cargo jeans the second time.
But people will suck his dick no matter what, but it's deserved.
Well,
it's
yeah.
different than a yes man. Like we were talking to, you know, the Johnny Manziel picture where he's wearing a stupid hat in Miami.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about it on Monday in the rundown. His crew probably said, oh, yeah, Johnny, that's cool. That's a cool hat. That's a cool hat. They're all lying. Everyone who sucks Michael Jordan's dick, like that's just what you do when you're around Michael Jordan.
Is that why he's got the stupid earring?
That's not a stupid earring.
It's a pretty...
Watch
okay.
your tongue.
All right, so if I'm going to make my top power rankings of worst earrings and people that I don't expect to have earrings...
Which, by the way, we're going to do... we will be doing one of our segments. We'll be power rankings of random things like I did this year when I did the five... I think I did best five and seven teams.
Yeah,
so that will be something. We'll do power rankings, so go ahead. I want to hear the power
rankings. Okay, well, I would say probably number one is Morgan Freeman. Like, that is a stupid earring that Morgan Freeman wears.
It also adds... Morgan Freeman is an underrated creep. Like, I feel like there's always stories about him being a creep.
Like him
Didn't
with
he date his daughter or
there was
something
about him with his grandchild, and that's what I choose to believe. But then I think I went back and I read about it, and it was, like, just a vicious lie that somebody made up about him.
Yeah, so that's tough. But still,
there's a
creep vibe going.
I believed
it. Earring guys are creepy.
I believed it for a second because I was like, check out the earring. Like,
yeah.
That's a
right.
clue.
That's a problem. Like, if you're a borderline creep, you don't want to have an earring because the earring in itself... put you in that creep category.
You don't want to have a thing that draws attention right. to you. You want to be clean shaven, short hair, conservative dresser.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe so, wear some glasses. Everyone thinks you read.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Exactly. Like kind of mellow it down a little bit.
So Morgan Freeman's number one.
Number two is Harrison Ford.
Harrison Ford is a try-hard earring.
His earring is the most try-hard. It's the worst. And he seems like such a dick, too. And, like, I can't believe that he has gone this far in life without having somebody say, dude, rip that shit out.
Right.
And then I would say number three is probably Michael Jordan's. And I would be okay with his earring if he didn't wear the big gold hoop earring all the time. That's my problem.
Here's why the Michael Jordan earring works is because he has basically – you think of hoop earring and you think Michael Jordan.
Yeah, he's made it his own, but I still think he looks like a clown in it. I'm not a fan.
So that was great. So we had a people forget that segment. So with a power ranking.
Well, can we get a ruling? Do people forget that Michael Jordan had a goatee?
I think they do.
I think that's a 3-0 vote. Yes,
people forget that Michael Jordan had a goatee in the Summer Olympics.
Yep.
In Barcelona. Barcelona.
Catalunya.
Next segment that we're going to throw out there, PR 101.
Yeah.
So you and I are kind of PR experts.
Yeah, I call myself a one-man crisis management squadron, Cryman Squad from The Office.
So whenever anyone needs our PR management, we are here to help, and this one will help right away. What was the guy's name? Now, this is bad because our whole basis of this PR was that we will never forget this guy now.
I know the guy's name.
What's
Chris
name?
Jones. His name Chris Jones. Jones.
Chris Jones at the Combine, his dick and balls flop out. At the end of his 40 run, which, by the way, we were saying this in the car the other day, that was an all-time bad moment for white guys.
Yeah,
because
absolutely.
We were like, is that guy, like, is he hard or something?
That's not only his at-rest package situation, but that's his, like, physical exertion package situation. Like, if I'm running that fast, all the blood in my lower body is going to be, like, in my ankles and my calves, and he looked like he was swollen up like a hot air balloon. It was crazy. And, it was, in fact, I think you could make the claim that it was maybe a hate crime against white people that he looked so physically well endowed that his package straight up burst through his shorts while he was running. How does that even happen?
I mean, it's a problem I've never even come close to having.
He might have had like some sort of small demolition like unit that was pre-packed in there that it was like a bit of thermite or something like that. Because I don't understand how your groin could ever just snap through a pair of shorts.
Like I said, that's not a problem. I don't think. I mean, when we were talking about this as well. The athletic, your athletic package when you're running around. I mean, I have nothing.
Right.
I have nothing. It's embarrassing. So this guy, he and now everyone knows his name except me. I forgot
Chris
it.
Chris Jones. Yeah.
I've been forgetting names all day. Everyone knows his name. I think that actually is going to work in his favor.
Right. So it goes along the lines of any press is good press, right? And I think he needs to just run with this and totally embrace it and always be the guy with a big dick. Like, show up to press conferences wearing, like, extremely tight. If you want to wear compression shorts, go for it. But if you have to wear jeans or whatever for the dress code, wear painted on jeans and just have that snake hanging down to your knee.
The other thing to think about here, when you think about how exactly would the general public find out about your dick size? It's basically a sex tape, which you don't want.
Right.
It's a rumor, which is tough to do. Like, obviously, it can happen.
How do you
like,
start
Wanya
that
Ribe
rumor?
Got
though,
a,
yeah.
Wanya Ribe, everyone knows, got a big dick. That's just a fact from a rumor. Or someone takes a picture of you by accident, like in the locker room.
Yep. Vincente Shanko had that happen.
Yeah, exactly. So it's rare that you can get it out there in like a non-bragging way or not have it be like a screenshot of like a snapshot, you know, a snap that
like you're
you
not
get out there.
You're not like clearly standing behind somebody being interviewed
yeah,
by
like
Fox in the
who
post.
Who did that? Was it who did Santonio Holmes did the one where he was like fully naked.
Yeah.
That's embarrassing.
Right.
This, when you actually think about it, this is probably the best possible way to let the whole world know like, hey,
it is.
I'm about to become an NFL player, make millions of dollars, and oh yeah, did you see my dick flop out of the pants?
Yeah. No, I agree with you 100%. Like, this is why he needs to take advantage of it and market himself as the big dick guy. Like, there's money to be made out there because of this. If it's a woman...
If his agent was worth his salt, he would be a Viagra spokesman and be like, for all you suckers out there, not me.
Right.
Take Viagra.
Right. It's like, I want to be like Mike. I want to be like Chris.
Right. Yeah, if you want to be like Chris, take some Viagra.
Yeah, no, I agree, and it's not fair to men because women, if they if they got a large chest, you wear a small bra or like a small swimsuit, tight shirt. Everybody knows. Everybody talks about how great your rack looks. If you're a guy, like you can't just go out there wearing a leotard,
which is a good thing for us guys who don't have.
Right? No, it's great for me. Like I'm really happy, but it is a double standard.
I'm a flat chested girl. Who never has to show off her tits.
You're a flat-chested girl growing up in Afghanistan.
Right, it's amazing.
Which is great.
I like how the social... I like our society having it that no guy could, like just has his dick out.
Right, yeah. No, I think he needs to jump on this. He needs to capitalize on it, get some sponsorships, have his agent network behind the scenes, and just be known as the big dick guy. Just roll with it.
I like it. PR 101, that will be a regular segment. Let's go to another segment. We're going to do Hurt or Injured. I want you to introduce this one.
Okay, Hurt or Injured. There's a difference between being hurt and being injured, and anyone who's ever played high school football knows that because coaches love to say it, and I believe it 100%. Like, if you have a broken foot and you're a quarterback, you should still get out there and play. You're only hurt because you don't throw with your foot. Right. Last time I checked, you throw with your hips, you throw with your eyes, you don't throw with your foot. Now, if you're injured, that's a different story. Like if you have a torn ACL, then I can understand why maybe you might miss a couple games if you're running back. I've got some theories on like how to avoid that in the first place, but we can get into that some other time. But
so the first guy on Hurt or Injured.
Yeah.
And he is going to be, we might actually name this segment after him because it's basically his segment.
Uh-huh.
Derrick Rose, who has been in the news lately, he had an article where he was quoted as, "I feel like I'm back," and immediately after was out with hamstring soreness, and he hasn't played since. Like I said, we're taping this on Monday. It's airing on Friday, so maybe he'll play, but he might actually get another injury between now and then.
He probably has sustained another injury since we've been talking.
Yeah, so hurt or injured Derrick Rose.
With Derrick Rose, I say he is injured by 1,000 hurts. Like, he's gotten hurt so many times that it's all, like, just one big injury for him right now at this point. His body is just in a permanent state of being so hurt that it's injured.
His mind, body, and soul.
Yeah, well, I think that's a very important part of it is the mind, too, because his mind just expects him to be hurt.
His mind has a million scars.
Like, you know how when you step out of bed and, like, we're getting older, you take one wrong step and your ankle just, like, there's something wrong with it. And it's just from taking a weird step. In his mind, he automatically jumps to, I've ripped apart 3 ankle ligaments, so I can't play tonight. Like with us,
right.
We keep walking to the bathroom, we sit down, take a shit, we stand up, and it's fine.
Right.
With him, he's already called in to the team and been like, I can't play tonight, I can't go.
So if anything, we're a lot tougher than Derrick Rose.
I think me personally, I'm a lot tougher than Derrick Rose.
I have my back has been barking all day. I went on the elliptical this morning.
No big deal.
Yeah.
Like you chewed it.
No. I've worked out every single February 29th.
That's big. That's huge.
Huge.
Well, every single February 29th in the last 4 years.
Yeah, I actually don't know where I was 4 years ago. But my back hurt, and I still went on the elliptical, low impact.
Yeah.
But still.
By the way, it's leap day today. Like, that's bad news for Derrick Rose. That's one extra day in the year to get injured.
That's bad news for this podcast. That's a weird time to start a podcast.
Yeah, is it good luck or is it bad luck?
There's only going to be the first anniversary is in 4 years, right?
Right.
Actually, that's great luck.
That's true, yeah. So we'll be at our 1 year then. All right, I like that.
Yeah,
we're staying young.
Listen, this was just our first year. When we have our anniversary, we'll be like, this is just our first year. Like, bear with us.
We're still going
to be a little rough.
Yeah.
Yeah. For 1 year, we've reached some really great milestones.
Right. We've accomplished 4 times as much in our first year as any other podcast has done.
The leap day jokes are endless. I think we actually just covered all of them, but yeah. They're endless.
No, but we'll bring it up next year.
Yeah. Right. All right. Last little segment we're going to debut here. And like I said, we're going to have a bunch of segments. We have some really funny ones. But this one's going to be a Friday-only one. And this is one where we do want people to get interactive. We're going to set up a voicemail. You can call in. You're going to tweet us. You're going to tell us. We're going to run this every Friday. And it is dumbest thing we did all week.
Yeah.
So this is a moment where we can basically say, look back at the week and say, wow, what was I thinking? Who wants to start? And Hank, by the way, Hank is our producer for this show. He's going to be a lot more involved as well. We're going to let Hank talk whenever he wants. We're going to let him be a real person. I'm very excited for it. Hank, do you want to start?
Sure. All right. I mean, as I'm sitting here, I'm trying to recover the dumbest thing I've done all week, which was I left a tripod on the plane. We're going to Los Angeles tomorrow. One of the only things I needed to do was bring a tripod and a camera. I left the tripod on the plane. I'm trying to email and recover it before we leave Austin, but it's looking pretty bleak.
Okay. Did they actually find the tripod? Did they track it down yet?
We were on the way over here. I was on the phone for like 45 minutes trying to just get in contact with the airline. They sent me an email where I had to register my item, and they're going to email me if they find it.
So you're going through all the appropriate channels to find it. Okay. That's kind of dumb. One time I left a bottle of prescription painkillers that wasn't mine on an airplane. And trying to track that down is quite a bit harder because I can't...
You actually tried to track it down?
Well, I thought about it, and then I got to that same place on the website you're talking about, and I was
That's like watching Cops when the crazy crackhead's like, I got ripped off by my crack dealer.
Right.
Like, well, you probably shouldn't call the cops for that.
I thought about it. So in my mind, the best thing I could do was, like, submit the claim under a third fake name. So I didn't use my real name, but I was going to use, like...
That's a web you have weaved.
Yeah. That was a little bit too much for me, and I was secretly relieved that I never heard back from the airline on that one.
All right. By the way, Hank, you're screwed if you don't get a tripod before we get to Dave.
I might try and get a new tripod in Los Angeles.
I think you have.
I mean,
do you think there are any stores in LA that sell film equipment?
That's my hope.
It's going to be tricky, yeah. You want to go next?
Yeah, sure, I'll go. So... I've never been this guy since I started being able to legally drink at bars when I was 21 to 30 years old. Never been the guy to leave his credit card behind. In the last 6 months, I think I've left 6 credit cards behind. I am now that guy. So we were out yesterday drinking beers, having a good time, watching some sports, just boys being boys. Didn't lead to any arm wrestling. And we got our bill, I signed it, and just never even attempted to take my credit card out of it. So I'm that guy now. So I'm the guy who leaves his credit card behind. It's the worst guy to be.
It's kind of a humble brag that you have like a really good credit score where you can keep getting credit cards even though you keep losing them.
True.
Like, let's tone that down a little bit in the future because some of us don't have the greatest credit. But that's an impressive run that you've been on.
I don't know what happened. I don't know why, because everyone knows that guy. Everyone has that friend who gets blacked out and leaves a credit card. Yeah, Hank is that guy. Mm-hmm. But I'm never blacked out. I just forget. I don't know what it is.
Have you ever done the thing where you just decide that, you know, just let it rest in peace at that bar? And
I think that's what I'm going to do with this one. That's the other element of it. I just don't go and get them.
Yeah.
Even if the bar could be next to my house, I'd just be like...
It's kind of embarrassing to be like, hey, whatever. I'm the guy.
Yeah,
left
it's
the card.
Just, I don't want to. And like, then you have to say, there's nothing worse than having to go into a bar and stand there because they're like, oh, we got to check with someone else.
Yeah.
And then they go into the back office and it takes a little, and you're just standing there.
And you're like,
the waitress is like, or the bartender's like, hey, you want a drink? Like, no, I'm the guy, the credit card guy.
And then you say, what the hell, I'll have one drink. And then, you know, after 2 drinks, your credit card makes its way back out and you keep drinking. And then you leave it there again.
It's perpetual.
Yeah. No, yeah, that's a pretty dumb thing. That's kind of a 22-year-old move on your part,
right? And I'm a 31-year-old guy, so I don't know if that's just this guy now.
This is your midlife crisis that you're dealing with right now.
Yeah, so that's the dumbest thing I did all week, which I guess in retrospect is not that dumb, but it's a troubling habit that I'm forming.
Yeah, it's starting to become a pattern.
What's your dumbest thing all week?
My dumbest thing is, so I went to Houston to cover the Republican debate for SB Nation. And the first night I was there...
We'll bleep that out.
Okay. Yeah. We'll fix that in post. I was covering the Republican debate, and it was like 10:30, and I needed to get some dinner because I had taken an Adderall, and I didn't eat any food when I was taking the Adderall, and then I got hungry late at night. So I went out in my neighborhood, and the only place that was open that served food was this dive bar that was in between 2 massage parlors. And it didn't have a sign on the outside. It just kind of... It sounded like a bar, so I walked inside, and I go up to the bartender. I go, hey, you guys serve food here? And his response was, sort of. We sort of serve food here.
That's quite the answer.
And I was like, well, please explain. Then the girl sitting next to me goes, well, you hand this guy your credit card. You tell him to charge $24 for it. He'll hand you $24 cash back. And then you take your $24 to the end of the bar and hand it to the guy drinking a Lone Star. And he'll make you a steak. And I was like, this sounds like a terrible idea. But I was so hungry that I did it. And so I got the steak, which was delicious, by the way. It was a ribeye.
You had a random guy cook you a steak.
He kind of worked there.
You had a random guy cook you a steak.
Yeah, but I mean, like, I don't need to see a certification from a guy who's going to put a steak on a grill for me.
Okay.
Yeah, so...
I guess I'll agree with you on the steak part. Steak, I'll take risks with. Chicken, I won't. but steak I'd take a risk with.
Right, right. There was also mashed potatoes and a salad, so it was actually like a nice rounded meal that he made me. I still don't understand how the economy works in that transaction, like how that guy
there's some fraud going on.
There's some sort of fraud. Yes. Yeah, like I haven't checked my credit card statement, which I probably should do immediately.
Yes, there's definitely some fraud going on.
So
it's blatant.
Yeah, yeah. So the upshot of this is that I had a good meal, but then about 4 hours later, I got hit with a nasty intestinal thing. And the following night, I had to go to the debate. And while I was sitting in the media room covering the debate, I shit myself. And I had to go...
Actual shit yourself?
It was in between a shart and a shit. Okay. Like, I don't know what you call that.
You shit yourself.
It was, yeah, it was a shit.
I think that's like, I think that's called pooping your pants.
I'll put it this, yeah, I'm trying to split hairs here, but the fact is I had to throw away a pair of boxer briefs. So,
that's definitely... Yeah. And I've been there. That happens. It's just something that happens. Yeah. You can't... I hate people who...
There's no way for me to have avoided that situation.
I hate people who judge... people who poop their pants.
At least I'm talking about it. I'm being open and honest about it. Like, let's get rid of the stigma that goes along with shitting yourself.
I don't like to when I poop my pants, but I also know that it happens at least once a year.
Right.
And there's nothing I can do about it.
Right. I mean, there's no sense crying over spilled milk, and so I'm fine with it. And I went ahead. I did my job. I did what I had to do. I kept on the clock, and I got some good interviews done with some of the candidates after that.
That's a great...
And they were none the wiser that I probably still had some remnants in that area somewhere.
So you just tossed the boxers?
Well, I wiped, too, obviously.
Like, yeah, but
I
you just threw the boxers away?
Yeah, just threw the boxers away. You got to throw the boxers away. And then the thing was, there was so much Secret Service around with their dogs. And, like, one of the dogs came right up to me and started, like, smelling my leg. Not, like, the back end, but he was just doing his job and, like, checking me out. And I was like, this dog's going to tell that I shit myself. Like, if this is a shit-sniffing dog, I'm found out. My cover's blown here. So, yeah, that's the stupidest thing that I did last
I think
week.
You beat us. You beat both of us on that one. Anytime you poop your pants.
Yeah.
I always say it. It's also like, you know, when you're in a factory and it's like this many days since our last accident.
Yeah.
That's just all pooping your pants are. It's just a running clock.
Yeah.
It's like, just got to wipe the board. Yeah. We're back at zero.
Back at zero.
We're going to see how long we can build this up again.
Get back to work, man.
Yeah.
Get back in the film room.
Just see how many more days I can go without, you know, shitting myself.
Yeah.
So that's the show. How long have we run there, Hank? Oh, that's perfect. All right. So like we said, we're very, very excited. I think everyone's going to love this show. Subscribe. Tell your friends. This was the introduction. This was the debut show. Next week, starting on Monday, so 3 days from now, you're going to start getting Pardon My Take every other day, and it's going to be hot, and it's going to be...
It's going to change the entire world of podcasting.
Yes. I would say that that's not a... Like, that's a... reasonable thing to
say. No, I mean,
expect.
I'm not raising my voice when I'm saying I'm not quivering. That's just the cold hard truth.
I'm going to leave us with a friend of mine, his tweet, JJ Watt. They will always be trying to find the next you, so you'd better be damn sure you're not done creating the best you. I just want you guys to remember that as we embark on Pardon My Take and see where this gets us.
Yep. So next time we talk, I want you to tell me what you've done in the meantime to create a better you.
Not shit my pants. That's all you have to
that's
do.
That's all you got
to
do.
Your bar is so low.
So low.
You
I
basically
love
just have to make sure you get to, you just make sure you're potty trained by the next time we tape this.
There you go. And you don't lose your credit card. And
that's gonna be tough.
That's improvement.
Yes.
You know?
That's and Hank, you're gonna lose another tripod.
Yeah.
But we'll do our best. So welcome to Pardon My Take. Thank you all for listening. See you on Monday. Oh yeah. Pardon My Take on Twitter. Pardon My Take on Instagram, exactly as I say it, Pardon My Take. Start tweeting us. Start following us. Like we said, interactive. It's going to be an interactive show where we want to steal your brains. So send us ideas. Send us guests you want us to have. We have actually some good guests next week we're hoping to line up. So it's going to be a great time. And you guys are all in on the ground floor.
That's right. Congratulations. Investing while it's low.
Being able to say I listened to the first Pardon My Take episode when we are rich and famous, and by rich and famous, I mean Dave's rich and we're
slightly more famous.
F-minus celebrities. Yeah. But when we get to that point,
you'll know that you were Pardon My Take hipster.
The 1 year anniversary in 4 years.
Yeah.
It's going to be wild.
We'll see you guys there.